If you've been told to pull up your socks, then make sure it's a pair of TNT socks. The TNT shop is now open at TNTRadio.live. You're with Brian McLean on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome to the Brian McLean Show. It is wonderful to be here with you. Happy Friday. My goodness, I hope you're well. I know that I've had to take a bit of a headline break for the last, 6 hours or so. But as I look at them right now, 6 hours, that's all I need to recover from a mountain of toxic media. But I'm seeing just now breaking news, less than an hour ago, Jim Jordan wins GOP nomination for speaker. So this is interesting. The seat is now occupied. Jim Jordan has officially been nominated as the Republicans' choice for speaker, beating out Steve Scalise. So I guess that means the seat is not officially occupied, but the nomination is for Jim Jordan right now, who beat out Steve Scalise. Interesting, very interesting. Not a massive margin, though. The total was 124 to 81. Jordan picked up just 25 votes. Scott, who didn't campaign for the job and got in minutes before the race, got 81 votes. So this is an interesting development. I think I'll be speaking about this, you know, since this is breaking right now, that may shift my conversation with Jennifer Lawrence that's going to be coming up shortly here. That is going to be a really interesting conversation because she has some things to say about Jim Jordan and his potential performance, usefulness as Speaker of the House. So that's going to be great. And then I'm going to be speaking with he's an art director, he's a cinematographer, he really is a Renaissance man. Good friend of mine and colleague Corey Drayton is going to be joining us for the final segment of the Brian McLean Show today, right here on today's News Talk. And we're going to be talking about trauma, which is going to be really interesting because I feel like the events of the last few years have been traumatic enough. So he's going to be bringing a very innovative discussion to us, and we're going to be talking about scientific advancements in dealing with trauma. And you might be surprised to hear what kind of advancements exactly he's going to be bringing to light. There's a new book that he's been involved with that we're going to talk about. So this is going to be an important hour. We also have an update coming on the union strikes associated with our main automakers right here in the United States who have just been in the fight of their lives to get a little bit of justice, a little bit of recognition, a little bit of, you know, proper pay. My goodness, having to fight for proper pay in an American industry like the auto industry. I don't know if we've ever seen anything like this before. We've had a lot of union kerfuffles and things like this in our history, but considering where we're at right now with finance, with inflation, with energy, with Green New Deals, with electric vehicles, with questionable policies being dictated to the American public with regards to power and travel, I mean, this really gets down to the fundamental rights of being an American, not just an American laborer, but an American for all of us with the right to travel freely in our beautiful country. So, you know, it's my estimation that the powers that be in not just in our country, but I guess in all of the West are obsessed with this idea of green energy. And as we peel the layers back on that, we're seeing exactly how green it isn't, as we see, dolphins and whales coming up dead on the shore daily in New Jersey right now. Look at Kristen Rickey's work from Save Our Tails. I think it's .org. It's either .com or .org. I don't have her up in my notes, but, It's hardly green at this point. It's becoming very clear that the direction they're pushing us may be one that limits our ability to travel. So, you know, maybe we can nip this in the bud if we start treating our auto workers appropriately. And we're going to talk with Tony Totti just momentarily here about that. It's really important. That's why Tony is joining us here. And I'll just remind you before Tony comes on, for all the latest events, community events, rallies, marches, festivals, and fundraisers happening near you, you heard me in the previous hour, if you have one, you can submit one of these also. But if you're interested to see what's going on, you can visit the What's On Events calendar on the TNT Radio website at tntradio.live and stay in touch on TNT Radio.
Digging deeper on the facts.
It's a source I can trust.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right, UAW Local 14 President Tony Totti rejoining me here on the Brian McClain Show at Today's News Talk. Tony, it's good to see you today. Happy Friday. Welcome back and give us an update on the auto strike. I saw some breaking news. Actually, I heard some breaking news from one of our news producers, Adam Clark, here yesterday. I believe he was on the Misty Winston Show talking about this. But give me an update. What's the latest since we spoke to you last?
Thanks for having me again, Brian. Always enjoy being on with you. So, you know, each week our president, Sean Fain, would have a meeting with everybody on Zoom, a Zoom Live, every Friday to let us know who's going out, right? For the first time that we had it, it was three facilities, and then it grew to the warehouse parts plants. And then, you know, individually as the talks progressed or not, he would take facilities out. Now, he's no longer doing that. You know, if talks just aren't going good at the table, like he did Wednesday with Ford, he'll just take a facility out. You know, our members are tired of the games with the company. You know, they had about 15 years of just, you know, unfair contracts with us. And we understood why, how we got here, right? And that's fine. And we understood that it drug on to this point and they had record profits through bad contracts for us. That's fine. But now is the time, like President Fain said today, get out the big checkbook, right? Because that's what it's going to take for us to get back working. We're not going to leave this set of negotiations with another bad deal. It's been far too long. And here's the thing. When we get justice in the workplace, that's a trickle-down effect. You always talk about trickle-down economics, and we know those don't work. But trickle-down unionism does work. And whenever we get a better deal than all of the foreign manufacturers that are in this country, automatically get a raise. Trickle-down unionism is what has people getting vacation days at their workplace, is what gets holidays, is what gets OSHA requirements, is what gets all the things that all the protections that anybody gets from the federal government at their workplace. That's trickle-down unionism. So we hope that we'll get a great deal and it trickles down again for all workers.
Yeah, I sure hope so. So what kind of last time we spoke, we were talking about certain concessions that had been made. It seemed like there was some brokering that was being successful. Are we still on that trajectory, or are you getting pushback now? Are you guys getting pushback? And is that why more facilities are closing down?
Well, just Ford went out. So this week, General Motors has another week of not going down, and that's good. They were the worst probably offender of the dragging of the feet. What saved them last time was the fact that they were willing to put the battery facilities in our master agreements. And why that's important is, you know, engines don't go in electric vehicles. Batteries do. And if they're going to close these engine facilities, those workers have to have a place to go. And you'd look no further than my facility here in Toledo. We make transmissions in Toledo. In 2019, they closed the Lordstown facility and sprayed those workers all across the country. And they started transfer back to Toledo just so they can go home on the weekends. We have a lot of displaced workers. So General Motors made a battery facility in Lordstown, where they're from, where they still maintain a home, even though they have to have an apartment here. And that's very costly. And those workers can't transfer to that General Motors facility there. And that's disgusting. That's a whole business model that they made. They hired the workers in at $16 an hour, which is trash. And it's not a working wage, especially for how dangerous those jobs are. You know, we have some foundries that we still have that if you work 25 years, you get a 30-year pension because they look at that risk to your health, and they give you extra time towards retirement because of it. You know, not only did they not do this for this battery facility, they're even paying even less. It's pretty sinister what they're doing. But only when you have a union can you rise up and say, we're not going to do this. And they really, they're stuck because they've not been treated like this before. And they really don't, they can't come to grips with it. But the longer they take, the more facilities we're going to take down.
Now, yeah, and that makes perfect sense. I mean, this really does seem like, you know, like I said, like the fight of you guys' lives right now. I'm still a little befuddled by what you just said. I mean, as you pointed out, some of these jobs are dangerous and rightfully the type of thing that people earn good pensions for. But to be brought in at a $16 an hour contract, I mean, there's people flipping burgers in California for that much money. No offense to any burger flippers. We need you guys too. And hope that you can end up in UAW once you, you know, get to your next gig. And what Tony and his people are working towards will provide you that. But now you're saying that people have been forced to move to or work in a like commute, and then a new facility opens up and they're where their house is and they're not allowed to go work there. I mean, and some of these people are on that trash wage there at $16 an hour. I mean, that sounds like a massive hardship. How does that work out for some of these people? I mean, what are they up against?
That is a massive hardship. It's not only financially, but mentally. You know, it destroys families. If you do sell your house there, now your family has to go on the road with you. You're going to take a loss because everybody was selling their home. So you just lost out there. You're going to a community that you don't have that family support where you did. You know, that Lordstown facility was open for decades. You know, generations of people, of family members work there. That's where your support base is. And now you got to go to Missouri or Kansas City or Wentzville or, you know, Arlington, Texas, to all these other facilities, Lansing Delta Township, when that's your home. And that's why they came back to Toledo, because they were maintaining two homes. It's just, and they don't care. That's the thing. You know, General Motors has this campaign going on right now, earn a living, make a life. And they do all these commercials and all that. But it's all a lie. They don't care about our people, because if they did, they wouldn't devastate them like this. They could have made that Chevy Blazer at that Lordstown facility, but they chose to close it and they moved it to Mexico. And we still have arbitration out over the case 4 years later, and they're still not getting right with the world. So this is, we're not leaving without a good deal. And they know it now. So it'll be interesting to see how much longer it is, because the longer this thing goes on, the more costly it gets. We're talking billions of dollars now. And they could have just took those billions of dollars and put it in our compensation package. But they're just so prideful, and they're not used to not giving, right? They're only used to taking. And this is a brave new world for them, but they better get used to it.
Yeah. In our last minute or so, what can we do to help? Is there anything that the larger public can do to help? I'm very curious about that. And how does it affect us? How does all this affect the larger public moving forward? If this goes one way or the other?
Well, you know, what I would ask of anybody is to really assess your workplace if you're working without a union, right? And you're seeing it with different industries. Next up, you're going to hear it from the airline industry, because a lot of their contracts are coming due. And once again, these CEOs, they all sit on each other's boards and they all give each other these raises, and nobody, you know, we're really, it's against Wall Street. So support workers. If you're in a town with a strike going on, you know, blow the horn, drop off some goodies or something. Everybody loves that. You know, park the car, go talk to a striker. It doesn't even have to be UAW. You know, it's unions across this country that are all facing this. And don't worry, if it's not us today, it'll be somebody else tomorrow fighting for the justice. But I really want workers to just stand up wherever they are and try to get a union in their place. If it's a union's not for every single workshop, because sometimes it just doesn't make sense. Or if employers actually treat their people right, then you don't need a union. But in this country, sadly to say, the vast majority of people probably do need a union. So really research it, whether you want to start your own or organize through another established union. Just stand up and demand justice in your workplace.
There you go. That's well said. We'll leave it at that. But it's very important what Tony just said. You know, these are companies that have received government bailouts with our money, with our tax dollars. You know, it's not just, oh, the poor union workers and the poor auto workers. No, this has been a crime against all of us. And we can say the same thing about the air industry. You know, this stuff really needs to be looked at. Where did all that money go? Why do these C-level people have such insane salaries? I mean, it's this is a big one. And Tony, really appreciate you. We'll have you back on for a further update as this develops. Best of luck with the strikes. Best of luck to all your coworkers and everybody in the union. We are with you, and thank you for being with me here on the Brian McClain Show at today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
You should hear what Greg Maybury is talking about.
What's your perspective on the work that he's done? I mean, and particularly not just as a parent and an activist, but as a musician as well, too. You're quite an accomplished musician.
Well, I think what Mark's able to do is through his research and stuff, is see how celebrities are used and how, you know, fashion and music and film and stuff is used, but in a very subtle way. So with the whole, you know, COVID jabs and all that stuff, it was very obvious. You know, you had Pink putting stuff on her Instagram, and you had people coming out on their social media and telling people to go and get jabbed or whatever. That was a kind of very obvious way of using celebrities. But he goes under the sort of dark underbelly of it, doesn't he, and exposes
very much
some of the, you know, subliminal messaging in the arts that people don't necessarily notice or realize, which is obviously the most dark way. It's the most dangerous form, really, because you don't necessarily see it coming. You know, it's kind of getting into kids' heads, you know, very subtly, which is what has been going on for a very long time.
The No Fly Zone with Greg Maybury on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
The Light is Britain's far-right conspiracy theory paper spreading hate and vicious lies. No, that's just what the BBC say. The Light is the only national newspaper bringing you the real news and informed opinion on what's really going on today. You can subscribe, order copies, submit articles, and read back issues on our website, thelightpaper.co.uk, and see for yourself why the establishment are so worried about the uncensored truth getting out to people every month. The Light Paper. Not for right, just right so far. thelightpaper.co.uk.
Mom, stop yelling.
Oh, you haven't heard yelling.
Your kids may not be listening, but pretty much every voice-activated smart device is. Just tell it to play TNT Radio.
Now, you know my next guest because you listened to the Brian McClain Show right here at today's News Talk. Jennifer Lawrence is joining us. Her and Dustin Stockton founded America Mission to answer the question in everyone's mind, what can we do? I love repeating that when you come on, Jennifer, because that is the question of our times. So many people feel like there's nothing we can do. This is all madness. This is some sort of clown world that we're in. But you and Dustin and the people that you guys work with, you know, you break that mold. You show people that there are things that can be done with multiple initiatives going at all times. So it's great to have you back on the show, Jennifer. What do you think about Jim Jordan being the nominated for speaker at this point? I know you've got some things to say about Jim Jordan.
Yeah, finally, we have a speaker vote a week after we, kick McCarthy out of his precious little seat. We still don't even have a speaker. We don't even have a vote, right? They tried to put up Steve Scalise, But, you know, he couldn't get the votes. And if you look at Steve Scalise, there is a lot to be desired. If you look at his Liberty score and some of the other things that he's been involved in, he definitely wasn't the choice. And I don't understand how Donald Trump came out and put his, you know, his endorsement behind Jim Jordan. And then we woke up 2 days ago and all of a sudden they were like, well, Steve Scalise has got it. Go home, guys. And we began to do Twitter spaces. And that's something I'd love to bring up is Twitter spaces, right? We were able to get Matt Gaetz into Twitter spaces to talk to us one-on-one the past two nights. He's come in, he's taking questions, he's talked to us about our concerns. And we've really proven how when people get together, that's one of the most terrifying things to them, is because it's the numbers of people when they see their constituents start to threaten what they're doing in DC, because it's against the people, we should be. But to them, it's the most threatening thing because they have it set up and they're used to the constituents not, you know, never calling, not being involved, just putting our trust and our faith in these people who forgot even why they were there. And we've made demands the past couple of days that we have seen played out on the floor of Congress in Twitter spaces. And to have that access and to really give the people back their power, I think, is a great thing.
It's beyond great. I mean, you're making my day on a day when, you know, everything is doom and gloom. If you peer into the mass media cartels feeds, I've been doom scrolling all week. And that's why I wanted to have you here today. I knew you'd shed some light and bring a little bit of hope and remind people that there are things that we can do. Tell us a little bit about what was discussed with Matt Gaetz. Give us an idea of what's been put in his pocket for consideration.
Yeah, I mean, he's explained to us his positions. He explained to us some of the backroom dealings that were going on. And that's one of the major wins we've had, is to get these secret ballots and the secretness of these the Congress vote, get those into the public. We want to see what you're giving up. We want to see what these backroom deals are. You're there because we put you there. You're there, you work for us. And you shouldn't be doing backroom deals when it's something so important as national security, giving money to Israel, giving money to Ukraine. And I mean, these Democrats and these uniparty people are so desperate to get that funding back to the Ukraine going, to get their, you know, their money laundering operation back up and running, that they're trying to tie the Israeli funding to the Ukrainian funding, knowing that conservative Republicans who were against the Ukrainian funding to begin with would be pro, you know, Israel funding, and they'd be able to get it back in. You know, we talked about the J6 footage. That's something that Congressman Matt Gaetz has been very dedicated. He's made promises to the J6 families that he would work to get that footage released. And that's something like on last night's space that we had to ask him a tough question. And Dustin was able to ask him that tough question. That tough question was, you know, Jim Jordan hasn't been, you know, all too supportive of the J6ers up until this point. So is that going to change? Because one of the major demands we have is those thousands upon thousands of hours of footage get released to the public, and especially to be used in the defense cases for some of these guys that are unrightfully sitting in prison.
And what does Matt Gaetz think about Jim Jordan's ability and willingness to do so? Does he have any hope with regards to that, or is he skeptical?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was one of something that's going to have to be worked on. And he promised us that he would talk to Jim Jordan about that and try to get something done about that. But I know his personal resolve is to get those J6 footed, you know, tapes released. And I know him going down to the DC gulag and meeting with some of the families, I think really inspired him to get behind this push, realizing what was at stake and, you know, seeing how some of these guys are being held where their First Amendment rights are taken away. You know, they're thrown in solitary confinement for 23 hours a day, sometimes months at a time. I mean, we don't even do that to our worst prisoners. And these guys, most of them are innocent, right? I mean, some people were there to cause damage that day, and those people should be treated differently than the people who were just walking in or got pushed in or just, you know, were walking inside the velvet ropes and didn't cause any damage or anything like that. Why are they being treated worse than people who rape children or people who murder people?
Yeah, it makes zero sense. And I think the more these kind of conversations that are had, especially if like what you guys just accomplished, you know, bringing Matt Gaetz on like that. I mean, how many people were listening to that space? Sometimes I see you guys on spaces and there's tens of thousands of people listening.
Yeah. So last night, I think there are about 3,000 or 4,000 people in there. I think the space only lasted 49 minutes, but you could actually go and listen to it if you go to Matt Gaetz X account, not Twitter. I keep calling it Twitter X, whatever the hell that is. Yeah. If you go to his X account, you can listen to the space. It's recorded, and you can kind of go through and see how he explains what's going on. And then there are some other recordings out there of when he came on the other night. And, you know, it was great how he started, you know, the co-host Vinny was like, oh, you know, hi, Matt Gaetz, you know, how's your day going? He's like, well, guys, you know, I'm honestly having a little problems at work, been a little rough. And I was like,
yeah, right? Understandably. But
we need to humanize these people again, right? Like, they're no different than you and me. They were just good at raising money and they probably had some name recognition and threw their hat into the ring, right? They're normal people. And sometimes we put them up on this pedestal, like somehow they're different than us, and they're not. And a lot of them are worse than most people.
Yeah, definitely. And this is one of the things I'm really liking about the new direction of politics. I don't know if I can call it the new direction of politics. It's probably a bad descriptor, but just the fact that people like you and I and others out there are now clamoring for unscripted, open conversations with people that are our politicians or want to be our politicians. I think this is a huge thing that's going to be just getting bigger and bigger as we move on into the next election cycle, and even more so in the one after that. By the time 2028 comes around, nobody's going to be interested in Fox hosted GOP debates and all these dog and pony shows, all this crap. I mean, it's really useless. Hold the line there, Jen. We've got an inbound headline here with today's News Talk TNT Radio.
Welcome, welcome.
Coming up, important news.
TNT Radio News.
And that's the truth.
This is James O'Neill with a check of today's headlines. Israel has dropped flyers over northern Gaza, ordering more than 1 million people to evacuate your homes immediately and flee south ahead of a feared Israeli ground offensive aimed at eradicating the Hamas terrorist group. Hamas's attack against Israel, being celebrated on the streets of Berlin, indicates that Germany has let too many foreigners into the country, according to former U.S. Secretary of State Henry Kissinger.
On air and on the app.
I listen on the app.
Stay up to date around the clock.
I listen, therefore I know.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Jennifer Lawrence is with us from America Mission. Now, Jennifer, you were talking a little bit about the backroom dealing, secret ballots. What can you share that you learned about maybe that was going on in some of these backroom dealings that's going to be important for us to know?
Yeah, especially around the Scalise vote, they were holding these votes where there was no discussion about what was put on the table, what they wanted in return, what was going to happen. And all of that stuff we're entitled to hear, right? Maybe not historically, right? Historically, you know, they don't really like when the people start to get involved because their shady business dealings are put at jeopardy, which they should be. Right. So by us getting involved and demanding to hear these backroom conversations, right, just to listen or come on afterwards and explain, like, yes, this X was put on the table, but I offered Y, you know, and we came to an agreement. Right. As long as we know. But what are you putting at risk? Everything you have in that building is because of taxpayers. It's because of everyday Americans. Right. And then you guys get to go there and horse trade all this bullshit. And then we get to hear about it after. And you're like, well, wait, why would you do that deal? That's horrible, right? Like a child could negotiate a better deal, right? And it's when they're not held to account in these negotiations and the outcomes of these negotiations that they have put up this barrier where they feel like, oh, they don't have to be a part of it. That's not their business. Don't let the people know. Well, you know what? That's not how the American government works. And maybe you haven't met me and my friends yet. But we're here to tell you that that's not going to work like that anymore. And we will be loud. We are going to let people understand that it doesn't have to work like this. And the more times that we stand up and say, no, it doesn't have to work like this, you know, the more we are going to get accomplished and not just like let them say, like, pacify us or oh, we'll give you this. Like McCarthy never had he never had the intention to keep up on those deals that he gave us in January, release of the footage, single term bills, term limit vote. They lied boldfacedly to our face. And it shows that Nancy was still in the office, right? And part of that is as long as those J6 tapes don't get released, we'll save you if Matt Gaetz or anybody comes up and tries to throw you out of office. And that's why we saw McCarthy with, you know, the press conference he gave right after, where he was like, oh, Nancy didn't save me. Well, he was pissed because he had cut a backroom deal. And it's like, well, a child really could have told you, you probably shouldn't, you know, I don't know, get a deal with Satan going, Nancy Pelosi. Like, that might be a bad idea.
Yeah. Yeah. I personally don't like the sound of that. It stinks 10 ways from Sunday, you know. And while you were talking right there, I just wrote down two words: representation and constituents. I really feel like the American public does not understand, or maybe they're just so browbeaten that they feel like they aren't constituents or that representation is impossible. But what you guys are doing has shown to not just the people that are listening there, but people like Matt Gaetz and others, you know, hopefully other people from Capitol Hill had their ears on too. And they see this rush, this groundswell, this wave of constituents, taxpayers insisting on proper representation. I mean, I feel like I need to go board a ship and throw some tea in the ocean or something at this point. I mean, how far have we fallen? How much have we forgotten? How browbeaten are we to not insist on being proper constituents and having proper representation?
Yeah, and that's one of the exciting things we're doing. So in the Twitter spaces the past couple of days, we have this guy named Chris Philby. He's an older gentleman, but he's so supportive of American Mission. And he's just really good at like calling Congress, right? So he gets on the Twitter spaces and he gets on his home phone, he puts it on speaker, and he calls the Congress people right in the Twitter space with all those people listening, because they never taught us how to call Congress. Right. And it's such like, oh, I have to call the congressman's office. Like, it's like calling the clown office, and that's how it should be treated. Right. Like, yo, you work for me. What are you doing? Why are you doing this? Right. And the more people we get to call and write letters and send, like, I don't even send faxes, if you still send faxes. Right. Just sure. Make that connection. Get on a Twitter space. Start writing on their walls. Right. I want their Twitter, like their Twitters are on their phones, just like they are on our phones, right? If all of a sudden you start getting hundreds of notifications to your phone as you're sitting there in Congress, like, and you look down and it's all these people being like, do this, what are you doing? You're an idiot. Da-da-da-da-da. That has an effect on you. And that's the kind of effect that we need to have on them, right? They need to be afraid of us, right? They need to be afraid that we're going to start rounding all of our people and making phone calls peacefully and respectfully, but letting them know, like, no, you're not supposed to be doing it this way. No, that's not how it's supposed to be going. And we were taught that we weren't allowed to do that. Right. It was the smart, respected people in D.C. that would, you know, fight on our behalf. Wrong. Yeah. And now yeah. We found that out, and it's up for us to take that power back. And that's what we're trying to do.
I love it. You know what? Next time you come on, we're almost out of time here, so we won't do this today. But next time you come on, Let's do that. Let's call my representative, and we'll see what they have to say. You know, I'm sure we could think of some great questions to ask them. Let's call them and ask them about the J6 footage and say, hey, why is this not released? Why are we being propagandized? And if we aren't being propagandized, prove it to us. You know, release all this footage and allow it. You know, do your part in making sure it's allowed into the court cases. What do you think about that?
I love it. And if you go to americamission.com, we've made it super easy for you. So on the website, and I'll have the ladies put it towards the top since we're going to need it over the next couple of days. But on the website, we have spreadsheets, we have Google Drives where we've listed out all 437 congressmen, all 100 senators, all of their contact information. So all you got to do is go into these Excel spreadsheets that we've already made, pull your information, and it doesn't even have to be your congressperson. Call somebody else's congressperson and ask them the same question, right? We need to just get a mass swelling of people making these phone calls, demanding representation. And that's how we take the power back. And like I said, for so long, we were taught, don't get involved in politics. Oh, they know what they're doing. They're good Americans. And like, come to find out, they've been selling us down the tubes this whole time. And we're at this pinnacle point in history where it's like, either we step up where our forefathers stepped up and took the gavel and started running with it, or, you know, China and all these other places are going to step up, take our gavel, and then we're going to be stuck. So I'd rather, yeah, you know, try to do this now, get involved, just make some phone calls, get on Twitter or X.
Get on X.com, get on Twitter, whatever you want to call it. Follow America Mission over there. Follow Dustin Stockton, follow Jennifer Lawrence, and get in on those spaces. Listen to them and see how they do this. See how they go about it. It's an educational experience, and it's a little bit fun also, demanding representation as a taxpayer and a constituent in the United States of America. We got a break coming up. And on the other side of these messages from today's news talk, we're going to be joined by Corey Drayton. We're going to talk about trauma and new technologies and means of addressing trauma. I think this is a great time for that. This is the Brian McLean Show on today's news talk, TNT Radio.
We're saved. Six Portuguese youth take 32 nations to the European court over climate change.
From Washington, D.C., this is the Morano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Morano.
The six young adults who took 32 nations to the European Court are arguing that government inaction on climate discriminates against youth and jeopardizes their future, their idea of a safe climate. Claudia Duarte Agostino, a 24-year-old nurse, explains why this lawsuit is necessary. Quote, right now, the big impact that it's having on my life is the anxiety it gives me daily, she said, of climate change. So instead of giving her perhaps anti-anxiety medication or educating her about the reality of how there's no climate crisis or climate emergency, she's going to sue governments to get billions and trillions of dollars in government shakedown to turn the country more Marxist? Oh boy, I bet it won't be too difficult to find a judge who thinks their case has merit. This is the wacky world of climate. This is Mark Morano for the Morano Minute on TNT Radio.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
Black Lives Matter use of confrontation and violence has attracted criticism from other civil rights groups. Barbara Reynolds, a veteran of the 1960 civil rights movement, writes that many civil rights activists agree with BLM's goals, but fundamentally disagree with their approach. According to Reynolds, BLM uses confrontational and divisive tactics rather than proven protest methods. The BLM movement protesters have harassed presidential candidates, and critics argue it has become a movement concerned with instilling fear in politicians, white people, and police. BLM has been blamed for worsening race relations in America. Federal Bureau of Investigation has found that homicides of police officers have risen since 2014, and some observers identify Black Lives Matter protests as a contributing case to an anti-police environment. The FBI reported that perpetrators of attacks on police in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and Dallas, Texas, stated they were influenced by the Black Lives Matter movement. Adding to the concern that BLM encourages anti-police violence are statements by BLM endorsing historical extreme-left anti-police terrorists.
Hesh, Hesher Dude, Hesher McHesherton, El Hesherino, and Hesher the Magnificent.
Who calls him that?
Brian McClain is Hesher on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Well, to answer that question, my next guest usually calls me that. He's a good friend of mine. I've got the Wandering Wolf himself, Mr. Corey Drayton, about to join me. And before he jumps on, let me just read this real quick statement out of the presser related to the book that we're going to talk about. The world has long misunderstood trauma. Despite its prevalence, post-traumatic stress, commonly known as PTSD, not a disorder, but actually an injury, is often seen as an unbeatable, lifelong mental disorder. We now know trauma is a physical injury, and you can see it on a brain scan. Here to discuss with me who's involved in this project is Mr. Corey Drayton. Corey, this is huge. This is monumental. I know a lot of people that daily take pharmaceutical products because they've been told they have PTSD. And I'm not saying it's a misdiagnosis. I'm just saying people are put on the infinite cycle of big pharma to address this. And I'm really excited to hear your thoughts and your experience with this new technology. The book is called The Invisible Machine. I'll let you read the subtitle. But welcome to the program and tell us about how PTSD is not a disorder, but an injury.
Hey, Hesher, it's so good to be back with you today. Where to begin with this revelation about trauma? So we've been sold this idea that what we call post-traumatic stress is an amorphous disorder that manifests with a battery of psychological symptoms, and that it's unbeatable, uncurable, something that you just have to live with the rest of your life. And maybe you can do various things like petting ponies or taking pharmaceuticals to mitigate the battery of symptoms that you experience, but you'll never be able to shift it. What we've discovered through the course of exploring this revelation and writing this book is that there is a significant amount of evidence coming out of the medical field that what we call post-traumatic stress disorder is not a disorder at all. It's actually a physical injury to the nervous system. And the way this essentially works is, so on your neck, straddling your voice box, you have a bundle of nerves called the stellate ganglion. And what this bundle of nerves does is it serves as the principal relay station between the amygdala and the rest of the nervous system throughout the body. This is where the fight, flight, freeze, or fawn response that human beings have resides. Now, when you are in a stressful situation, whether it's a blunt force trauma or chronic stress, which we'll get to in a moment, what can happen is the mechanism that resides in this nerve cluster essentially gets stuck in an active state, a state of red alert. When that happens, it causes the propagation of nerve endings in the amygdala and throughout the brain that are connected to the fight or flight response. This has the effect of telling you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days out of the year that you are facing imminent threat everywhere in your environment. So if you imagine, throw yourself back 50,000 years, a Paleolithic human being encountering a threat in the environment, let's say a wolf or a saber-toothed tiger, would, upon that encounter, immediately have a reaction. Either it's fight or it's flight. Imagine that that's happening to you all day, all the time, no matter what. You can be sat at home, eating your favorite snack, watching Netflix, and your nervous system is telling you that you are constantly in danger and constantly in threat. So when this occurs, we say that this nervous system has been injured, and it's constantly sending this imminent danger signal to the body. So that manifests in a battery of seven symptoms: anxiety, hypervigilance or hyperarousal, hair trigger, a constant sense of doom, mild paranoia, lack of sleep, and extreme cases, suicidal and homicidal ideation. And here's where it really crystallized for me. If you think about what suicide is, it's the ultimate form of flight. If you think about what homicide is, it's the ultimate form of fight. Now, there's a number of doctors, Daniel Amen and Jay Faber among them, who have done lots of functional MRIs on veterans and first responders and other individuals who had a PTSD diagnosis. And you can actually see in the brain, brain scans, areas of the brain that are not receiving full blood flow. And most of these areas are centered in the frontal cortex, which is the seat of our executive function. So we know that these symptoms are connected to a physical injury in the body. We have medical proof. The question remains, what is to be done about it? And this book gets into detail on that.
That's absolutely revelatory right there, first of all. And it, for me, it begs a lot of questions. I know people that have been, for example, I know a millennial who was told when she was like 12 or 13 years old that she had anxiety disorders, that she had, and it all came down to a chemical imbalance. It's like, oh, I have a series, like she, when I met her years ago, she defined herself as someone who has a series of congenital chemical imbalances that require her to be on antidepressants, antipsychotics, anti-anxiety, and I don't know, probably a couple other flavors of pills from Big Pharma. And I always, you know, even at that point, before I was as spun up on some of these Big Pharma issues as I am now, I was always skeptical of that. I was always kind of the mindset that, wow, this is really sad that, you know, this young person, their parents allowed Big Pharma to come in and put these labels on her that she now walks around with and takes all these pills to manage. And it's like, well, wait a minute, you know, did something, now I'm thinking back and it's like, well, maybe something traumatic happened when that person was a child. Maybe something else is going on. I mean, it could be as simple as a poor diet or a vitamin mineral deficiency when you're talking about a child. And unfortunately, it could be something more traumatic. But yeah, I'll let you take it from there. And then I'd love to hear about the treatment also.
Absolutely. So I'll start by just commenting on the Big Pharma angle. I do agree 100%, even before I started working on this project, that it seems rather that Big Pharma had a vested interest in creating customers for life by convincing people, hey, you've got a chemical imbalance, and the only way to address it, the only way to find some comfort in your life is to take our drugs. And when you tie that into the degree to which most Americans do not have a healthy diet, people are living a sedentary, high-stress lifestyle, it's not difficult to make connections between the lifestyle that people are being encouraged to live and the all-too-convenient pharmaceutical solutions that are offered to them to help ease their pain and suffering. The thing about this treatment is, I think it's potentially threatening to the interest of Big Pharma, because what this is a simple outpatient procedure that you can do 15 minutes each over the course of 2 days. And essentially how it works is this. What they do is they go into the stellate ganglion in the neck. Again, like I said, you've got the right side and you've got the left side. The right side is associated with adult trauma. The left side is associated with childhood trauma. There is a doctor in Chicago named Dr. Eugene Lipov who figured out that if you take a $2 amount of general anesthesia, this is the same anesthesia that's used in a common epidural, and you introduce that anesthesia directly to the stellate ganglion at specific points in the neck, what happens is you power off the fight or flight response long enough to allow it to dump all of its accumulated trauma, the extra nerve endings that I was talking about that are sending that signal of threat to the brain, those die off in an effect called pruning. So essentially what you're doing is you're restoring the biology of the nervous system back to its pre-trauma state. When the patient wakes up, they have an immediate discharge of emotion, but they experience the calming effect of being at baseline. They're no longer getting this repeat signal that's telling them all the time that saber-toothed tigers are about to eat them. You go home, you rest for 8 hours, you get up the next day, you go back in, you get the left side done. Typically, the left side is a lot stronger. People have more explosive reactions to that because that's the childhood trauma. Now, depending on a person's background, it doesn't take blunt force trauma to cause this injury. You can get it from high allostatic load. You can get it from having a poor diet. You can get it from growing up in poverty. You can get it from being needled by your parents all the time. You can get it by just living an unhealthy lifestyle. So we think 40% of everyday people have this thing. And the problem with the way that trauma is discussed in the mainstream is that it's all too often associated with the extremes, veterans and first responders. We're trying to bring it into the mainstream and say, hey, you don't need big pharma to resolve this discomfort. You can go get this treatment. We're calling it a dual sympathetic reset. It is an upgrade of the stellate ganglion block, or SGB, that people have heard about on Joe Rogan and other places. The difference between the SGB is it only does the right side. With this new treatment that we're advocating, you do both sides for full relief.
Very interesting. And I know that there are a number of Navy SEALs, Green Berets, other people like that are service members who, as you've pointed out rightly, are often who we think of when we think about post-traumatic stress. Although when we look around in our lives, we see it in our friends, we see it in our family, we see it in ourselves sometimes, you know, and it can be hard to identify, you know, because there's a lot going on there. But with like our veterans, I mean, it's pretty well known what their adult trauma consists of, at least in their mind, and probably the clinician that they're dealing with here with the dual sympathetic reset. What kind of results have you seen from you know, people like that that have had very noteworthy trauma?
Well, there's a number of things I can say. I mean, first off, I just want to say as well, before I get into that directly, that the name that we're giving to this condition, post-traumatic stress injury that we see in everyday people due to allostatic load, we're calling it operator syndrome. And we're calling it that because of special forces operators and what happens to them when they're deployed for long periods of time. They may not be in gunfights all the time. They may go from week to week without getting into a gunfight, but it's the low median anxiety of potentially being in a gunfight, potentially being pinned down by snipers, potentially stepping on an IED, or all the other myriad of dangers that they face that accumulates into the chronic stress or high allostatic load that can also cause this injury. So essentially, you can be deployed. You can do a long deployment without getting into a gunfight and still get this injury simply by virtue of the high allostatic load. So to answer your question about the results that we've seen, well, we worked very closely with U.S. Special Forces and Delta Force on the course of making this book. There's a number of stories of Special Forces operators and Delta Force in the book who've gotten the treatment. One of whom is a man named Trevor Beeman, who's become a good friend of mine. He's a Special Forces operator, did 5 deployments in Afghanistan. He recently, back in May, did a TEDx talk for TEDx Portland that you can look up on YouTube, and you can hear it straight from him, how getting this treatment gave him his life back. It helped him be present for his wife and children. He's able to be an engaged father. He's no longer drinking and injecting drugs, just by virtue of having had this treatment. Other people who have had it are people like Tom Satterley, who was one of the Black Hawk Down survivors. We got this for him, and it's made a remarkable difference in his life too, because essentially what they've reported to me, and you can read about this in the book, is that their reactivity has gone away. So if you think about it, just going through the course of life, whether it's maintaining a marriage or trying to reintegrate into civilian life, working a Joe job, and the daily stresses of dealing with the general public, sometimes you can get agitated. Someone cuts you off in traffic, you can get agitated. What they have consistently reported by way of their results is they have a pause. They don't go straight from the agitation into an explosive rage. And they don't experience hypervigilance anymore. They have their executive function restored to them. So they're able to take a pause, access their executive function, think through the response, and then act accordingly. And I think that's a massive gift to give someone who has been in a chronic state of reactivity against everyday stresses.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, and driving is one of those things that I think a lot of us can relate to, because when you're driving, I saw someone talking about this recently, and it really resonated with me. It might have even been Rogan himself. We only have about a minute left, but when you're driving, you're sort of in that yellow zone. You're hypervigilant. You're somewhat hypervigilant. And if you're someone that's dealing with this trauma, this PTSD, you're already there just by virtue of driving, but then you have the trauma you're dealing with too. So road rage becomes very much understandable in those situations. The book is called The Invisible Machine. Once again, the startling truth about trauma and the scientific breakthrough that can transform your life. Corey, I'll give it to you for the last 30 seconds. Tell people where they can get it and learn more.
Absolutely, my pleasure. So the book is available wherever books are sold. You can get it on Amazon, you can get it at Barnes & Noble, any bookstore that you would go to in your place of residence, you can find this book. There's also an audiobook version available as well. And we have a documentary film coming out in the summer of 2023 that will be a companion to the book. And you can learn more about this by also going to stellacenter.com. That's where you can get the treatment done. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Corey. This has been the Brian McLean Show. Stay tuned for Misty Winston here on TNT Radio.